Barnabas is a person we usually associate with Paul during his time in the church at Antioch, and as a fellow worker on Paul's first missionary journey. However, we are first introduced to him as a member of the growing church in Jerusalem. We're told his name is Joseph, but this was changed by the apostles to Barnabas, a name which we are told in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36 means son of encouragement. He was a Levite and therefore a member of the tribe of Levi. He was also a native of Cyprus. What do we learn about this man? Firstly, we read, like many believers at the time, that he was generous. He owned land, which he sold to further the work of the Lord. We read this in Acts chapter 4 and verse 37. This was unlike some people we read about in Acts chapter 5, who, although sold something, kept some of the proceeds for themselves. Why, when so many believers sold land like this, is Barnabas the only one named? Possibly because he was a Levite, and members of the tribe of Levi were not allocated any land when the country was divided up among the tribes. They were to rely on God for all they needed. It can probably be assumed that the land he sold was therefore in Cyprus. By doing this, it shows that Barnabas was prepared to make a complete break with the past, in order to be completely loyal to the Lord. We do, however, read later on that he did return to Cyprus, but as a missionary. When God calls us to be part of his family, he expects us to make a complete break with the past in the way that we live. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18, we read these words, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past." Later in his ministry, Paul tells us, when writing to the church at Corinth, that when we accept Christ into our lives, the old life is finished, and we have new life. We read this in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 17. Why? Because the believer is a new creation. He or she has been born again and has a new life. Paul, in Colossians 3, 9 and 10, writes, "You have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." The second thing we learn is that from the name given him by the apostles, Barnabas was the one who had been encouragement to others. And we read several instances of this as we look further into his life. When Paul tried to meet with the church at Jerusalem, he met opposition. Because of his reputation, they didn't believe at first that he was converted. But of all the apostles and disciples in Jerusalem, it was Barnabas who opened the door to welcome Saul. He held his hand out to Saul when others wouldn't. It was Barnabas who believed Saul's account of how he had been wonderfully converted and how he had preached fearlessly in Damascus. So he introduced him to the disciples. Can you imagine how much Saul would have been encouraged by Barnabas standing up for him when everyone else was suspicious of him? Because all they knew about him was the reputation he had gained for himself before his conversion. He knew that Saul's conversion was genuine. Barnabas was so respected by the apostles that they believed him. For a while, Barnabas worked in the church at Jerusalem, but Saul was sent home to Tarsus because of threats to his life. As the word of God spread following the death of Stephen, Barnabas was sent by the apostles to encourage the growing church in Antioch in Syria. In Acts chapter 11 and verses 22 to 24, we're told on arriving there that he was pleased to find evidence of the grace of God in the members' lives. We're then told he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. How was he able to do this? The answer is in verse 24, where we read, "He was a good man because he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith." During his time there, there were many conversions and the church in Antioch grew. It was then that Barnabas decided to bring Saul from Tarsus to work alongside him, and they worked together for a whole year. Paul would be encouraged that Barnabas felt he was spiritually mature and experienced enough to be involved in this important work. While at Antioch, Barnabas and Saul were sent to Jerusalem to take relief to the believers there, as they had heard that there was going to be a famine. From this, it appears that Barnabas, in his ministry of encouragement, had encouraged the believers at Antioch to live out their Christian lives in a caring and practical way. He probably led by example, because we saw earlier that he was one who gave willingly. When they had completed this mission, they returned to Antioch and took with them Barnabas' young cousin, Mark. Through the teaching of Barnabas and Saul, the believers in Antioch became more open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. As a result of this, they felt it was time that the church got involved in missionary work. We're told in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2 that the Holy Spirit gave them a definite instruction to set apart Barnabas and Saul to do a specific work that he had in mind. This is what we have come to know as Paul's first missionary journey, and it is on this mission that Saul becomes known as Paul. They took Mark with them on this mission. I'm sure this was Barnabas wanting to encourage this young man. Their first port of call was Salamis in Cyprus, where they proclaimed the word of God. Don't forget, Barnabas originally came from Cyprus, so he was returning to preach to people who had a similar background to him. It was in Cyprus that we read of Paul getting more involved in the preaching and Barnabas beginning to take more of a supporting role. This might not have been easy for Barnabas. After all, he had been a Christian for much longer than Paul and was more experienced in being in leadership. It can often be very difficult for those in leadership in our churches to step back and allow younger men to take over. Although Barnabas comes over as being a role model to follow, like all believers, there were times when he was tested, and on one particular occasion that we read about, he failed the test. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 13 that Barnabas was led astray by the hypocrisy of some of the Jews. Peter, who was probably one of the most influential people in the church in Jerusalem, refused to eat with the Gentile believers in Antioch because he was afraid of upsetting the Jewish visitors who had been sent by James. This was hypocritical, as Peter had been involved in preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, and Barnabas joined Peter in this hypocrisy. Sometime later, Paul suggested to Barnabas that they revisit some of the towns where they had evangelized on their first mission. Barnabas wanted to take Mark with them again, but Paul wasn't happy with this, as Mark had not completed the first mission with them. This caused Paul and Barnabas to go their separate ways. Barnabas took Mark to Cyprus, possibly to take up where they left off when they visited earlier, and as a result, the gospel spread further. Barnabas had the desire to preach God's word, and although one opening became difficult for him, he didn't give up doing what the Lord had called him to do. As a result, more people would have come to know the Lord and be encouraged by Barnabas. Are you a person who is encouraged by knowing the Lord and encouraging others to know him too? Thank you for listening. Goodbye for now.